Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Invite Susie Hilsman to the platform and let me share with you today as we have communion service, we're doing it a little different. Normally what we do is we would take scripture and we would take songs to point us to the bread and the cup. And we are doing that, but we're adding something along with it, and that is three stories of grace. If you know Jesus, you have a story of grace. If you know Jesus, you are a trophy of grace. If you know Jesus, you are living that out. And so we've invited three different people, Susie Hilsman, Kevin Battles, and Dalton Williams, to each share their story of grace. Susie's is a little longer because I asked her to share some specific things that I knew would bless you and would make an impact in your life. So Susie's going to come and share with us. Susie, thank you.
Well, there's a bunch of you. I thought the second time might be easier, but no, it's not. This is just a story of how God has worked in my life and some of the things he has done to help me be able to know him. I grew up here in town, had a great childhood, lived in a neighborhood with a whole bunch of kids, and we just had a great time. Went to church with my family, but it never clicked. I didn't understand what it was really all about. And as wonderful as my childhood was, my teen years were equally as hard. Parents had divorced, and there was just a lot of hard family stuff going on, and the regular teenage angst didn't help. But when I was a junior in high school, some of the other girls on the basketball team and I went to a revival at Mount Calvary here in town, and I just remember the pastor that night saying, if you are having trouble living your life, Jesus Christ is the only one who can help you. And I was most definitely having a hard time living my life. And so went to the front and prayed, and I was sincere in asking the Lord to come into my life. And I believe that he did, because he is a God of his word. And I woke up the next morning and I felt like, okay, now what? What's next? And I didn't really know. And I didn't know who to ask, and I'm still not good at asking for help. And so I just thought, I'll figure it out on my own. And I couldn't. And I just got tired of hurting and all of that, and just rebellion, I guess. But my senior year of high school, I just decided I don't want to hurt anymore. And so I'm just going to party. And so I did. But one amazing thing that happened, I made good grades, but I had no plans to go to college. I didn't have a clue what I wanted to do with my life. So I was just going to work, because that's what my parents did and their parents. But I don't know who, I've not been able to find out, but either a teacher or a counselor put my name in to get a scholarship to Sneed. And I got one. And that just ended up being huge in the trajectory of my life. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to SNEA. So I did. And I was still partying. I was working at Foodland. And I had worked my way up to assistant head cashier. So, you know, doing that. And I thought, I'm just going to work. I don't know what I want to do with school. And so I just withdrew and was actually at a bar one night. And there was this lady making a fool of herself, singing at the top of her lungs. And I just thought, is that what you want? Because that's where you're headed. And I didn't know what I wanted, but I knew that was not it. And I didn't know what it was, but somehow I just believed it had something to do with God. And I thought, I'm going to figure it out somehow. So that was the end of my partying days. And I began to think, I want to go to school. I want to live in a dorm. I want the real college experience. And so a friend and I ended up transferring to Montevallo. And in the first couple of weeks there, we met this girl. And I could just tell she had it. Whatever it was that I was looking for, she knew it. And she invited us to the weekly meeting of this campus ministry. And so I went. And in the first couple of weeks, I learned that being a Christian means that you have a personal relationship with God. And that completely changed my life. And I just knew with every fiber of my being, this is what I've been looking for. And so I started going to the weekly meetings. I got involved in a Bible study. I was going to retreats. I was doing all the things. And I found out that they had a summer mission project in Panama City where it was kind of like Christianity 101, and you could just really get grounded in the basics. And I wanted that so bad. But I also felt a responsibility to my parents, especially to earn some money to save up for my schooling, because we had not planned for me to go to college. And so I really felt torn. I didn't know what to do. And I was constantly just thinking, okay, if I go on this project, this. If I work and save up money, this. And both were good options, and I couldn't decide. So one day, some friends and I went out to this picnic table on the quad on campus, and they're studying. I took a book. I don't know why. I couldn't pay any attention. So I just closed it, and I'm just looking around, going down my list in my head. And on the other side of the quad, I see this piece of paper. And then a few minutes later, I look back, and it's kind of blowing our way. And nobody's over there, so I don't know where this is coming from. And it actually blows right up to my foot. So I'm like, okay, I'll see what it is. And it was a little index card, this card in particular, and it was somebody's scripture memory verse. And this was, you know, before phones, before Bible apps on your phone. This was back in the day, so this was the old school Bible app. But it was Philippians 4, 6 and 7. So I started reading it, and the very first thing it said was, don't worry about anything. And I was freaked out, because that's all I was doing was worrying. That's all I knew how to do. And I felt like God had just booped me on the head with a little toy hammer or something. Like, hey, this is for you. Pay attention. Tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank him for his answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. So I am freaking out, because, I mean, this is a bullseye on my target. And I'm telling my friends, and they're like, oh, yeah, that's cool. And they go back to their work. And I'm like, you don't understand. And so I'm like, pray. What a novel idea. So I pray and ask God to show me what to do. And then that, you know, okay, the peace part, how does that come? I don't know how that works. I'm not feeling any peace. I don't know what to do. So I kind of go back to my list of trying to figure it out. And a little bit later, another something catches my eye, and I look over, and it's another index card. And I'm like, you got to be kidding. And, you know, I don't recognize the handwriting. There's nobody over there. I don't know where this is coming, except that it's coming from God. And it's coming straight for me. Well, this time I got up I went to get this one, because I can't wait to see what this one's going to say. And it's the same handwriting, another scripture memory verse, 2 Timothy 2:2. And the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. And this one didn't quite bonk me on the head like a hammer. I had to think about this one a little bit. And then finally I realized I can't entrust anything to anybody because I don't know it myself. And the giant light bulb went off, but if you went on this project, you would know. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going on this project. And so I go and I'm having a great time. We got jobs during the day, and then we had Bible studies at night. We did outreaches on the beach on Saturdays, and then we got involved in different churches on Sundays. And my job was a maid at the Summit Condominiums, and which back then was one of the biggest buildings in Panama City. But we got paid, you know, weekly, but we had to pay rent and buy groceries and do laundry and all of the things. And toward the end of the summer, the business office got confused about when we were going to be leaving, and they started sending our paychecks to our home addresses. And so I was broke. I didn't have any money. And I would borrow a little bit from this person and borrow a little bit from that person. And finally, one day, I thought, I have been hearing people all summer talk about trusting God, and I don't know how to do that, but I feel like I need to learn. This would be a good opportunity to do that. So we get to work, we get our room list, and my friend Roslyn was with me. We were cleaning that day, and we get our cart, and we're headed to the room, and I'm just praying, God, we don't have food. We don't have money for food, so we don't have lunch. But both of us could eat for $5. So that tells you how old I am. That was a long time ago. So I trust you for $5, and I pray that you'll provide in Jesus' name, amen. And my plan B was, if this doesn't happen, maybe we'll find some food in a fridge or some ice cream in a freezer that somebody's left, and we can eat that way. So we start cleaning, and then I start thinking, but what if it does happen? What if he does do this? And, you know, what if there's a five laid out with a shaft of light? You know, this could be really cool. And so we get to the first room, and of course, we don't find that. And I'm thinking, well, you know, it's too early. There's no faith in this if you find it right off the bat. So then the next room, the thing in the next room. And the more we go, you know, the more desperate I am becoming. And the more thoroughly these rooms are getting clean, because I'm like moving the dresser, I'm digging in the couch, and nothing. And so then I'm thinking, maybe we're going to learn about fasting today instead. I don't know, but it's lunchtime, and we know we're not going to have time to finish this next room, but we think, well, let's go get started anyway. I mean, it's not like we have anything to eat, so let's just work. So Rosalind goes in the room, and I'm getting stuff off the cart, and I hear her scream, and I'm thinking, oh no, it's, you know, it's a party room. There's going to be beer cans everywhere. She's like, come here. So I go in, and I notice as I'm walking in, the carpet's been vacuumed and the beds are made. And I'm thinking, this is no party room. This is shouldn't even be on our list. It's already clean. So I get in there, and she's just pointing at the table. Her mouth is dropped open, and I just see money. And I'm just like, no way. So I go over, and there were four ones and a handful of change, like 83 cents or something, I don't know, which is not hardly $5. But there was also a coupon to Wendy's to buy one single, get one free, which made it more than $5. And they had just ripped off a note of a scrap piece of paper and said, clean and crew, thanks. And that was the only tip that I got all summer. And so we stood there for what seemed like forever looking at this money. And I finally said, I was trusting God for $5. And Rosalind goes, me too. And so we took the money, we took the coupon, we went to Wendy's, we got the singles, we got fries, we got Frosties, we partied it up that day because that was an awesome provision. But that, I mean, it could have, might as well have been $1 million, but that showed me, and I have turned to that over and over again through the years, to that it just let me know that God knows what I need. And even more than that, he cares about what I need. He cares about me. You know, I grew up on a dead end street. I'm just a plain person, but he cares about me. And so I hope that testimony will be an encouragement to you, and that it will help you trust him more and just share it for his glory. Thank you.
Thank you, Susie. Thank you. you don't know Susie, you need to get to know her better and make sure you do. It's been a blessing to have her as a part of our faith family for I guess 2.5 years now or so, right around there. She spent several years working full-time for Campus Crusade for Christ, did a lot of writing and other things for them, just does a beautiful job. But here's what I want you to catch from that, and that is this. I want you to understand that she prayed and asked God, and he sent index cards across the quad. She prayed and asked God, and he provided a little more than $5 with a coupon. It's about trust. And as we see her grace story, it's how God proved himself faithful, which built her trust, which now allows her to see and catch the glimpses of God's grace and mercy more and more often as well. But she called on the name of Jesus. Listen, friends, there's power in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's sing together, "Isn't the Name of Jesus Wonderful?" Would you stand with us? Lift this as your own story.
Since that isn't the name. Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? And all the world can come to him to have their sins removed. Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Father Jesus, all we need. Isn't the name of Jesus all we need?
It's everything.
For He's the way, the truth, the life, the only way to God. Isn't the name of Jesus all we need?
He's the way.
He's the way, the truth, the life, the only way to God. Isn't the name of Jesus all we need?
Amen. Be seated, friends. He is all we need. Next, we have telling His grace story. Kevin Battles. Kevin and his family have been a part of our faith family for right at 2 years. We're so thankful for them. And many of us share a certain part of the story, like Susie, in that maybe we came to know Christ as a teenager or a child. That would be the majority of us in this room and participating online. But there are those that come to Christ later in life as adults. And it is such a profound testimony to see when someone has lived many years of their life and then come to Christ, what He does in their lives. And Kevin's going to share with us his story. Yes, sir.
My name is Kevin Battles. I get emotional telling this story because God's grace. March 2018, I was working out on Pleasant Hill Cutoff Road, just outside of OS. Boy, let me tell you, that morning I couldn't do nothing right. I couldn't work fast enough because I knew God was dealing with me that morning. The machine I was running out there, I just got off of it. Buddy stood there beside me. He said, Kevin, what's wrong with you? I said, but I don't want to go to hell. He said, let's fix that. I knelt down there by that machine, by that tar, and that's where I asked Jesus to save me. You know, my son Colton here, 4 months later, I went to the altar to pray for him. And he come to know Jesus as his Lord and Savior. 5 years, 2023, on a Monday revival, my grandson Waylon, he come to know Jesus as his Lord and Savior. My friend, all I can do, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior this morning, just let me encourage you. Let today be the day.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you. You happen to be at church, maybe you're at home, but you don't have to be in church to give your life to the Lord. For Kevin, it happened running a piece of equipment on the side of the road to get on his knees in someone else's driveway and give his life to the Lord. Friends, today is the day of salvation. If you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus, all of these grace stories, listen, that can be your story. God's grace at work in you. And so I pray that you would give your life to Him. We've already sung Amazing Grace. So what we're going to do, we're going to just sing one verse of that again, because that's Kevin's story. Just one verse. We'll just sing the first verse together, Don, and then we'll carry on. Let's sing together.
Sing it out, church. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found.
God's grace at work. This is Dalton Williams. Dalton was baptized here in our church the last Sunday of January, came to know the Lord a couple of weeks before that in January. And he and I meet every single week together. We pray together. We study the Bible together. We're kind of working through how to understand God's word and what it's about. And I will tell you, some of you have lived your life as a believer for decades, but maybe you've never shared your testimony publicly, or maybe you've lived your life as a believer for decades, but you're not willing to pray out loud in the group. Can I encourage you with and challenge you that Dalton, after coming to know the Lord within a week, is praying regularly out loud. He and I together, he's willing to share his story. Let that be an encouragement to you and a challenge to you. But I've asked him to share his story. Dalton, tell us your story.
Hi, my name is Dalton Williams. I was living reckless, doing drugs. I was doing a lot of bad things. I was hanging out with the wrong people. I was headed down a dead-end road of destruction. I almost died twice due to overdose. I shouldn't be alive today, but God was always there with me, protecting me. Even though I was walking a different path at the time, he was still there with his hand out waiting for me to take it and walk with him. God kept me alive because he had other plans for me in my life. Amen. I came to a point in my life where I hit rock bottom. I was so low I felt like I didn't have control over anything anymore. I had a big breakdown mentally and I couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't take feeling the way I did for another day. I knew at that moment I couldn't do it on my own anymore. I screamed, I cried, I pleaded out to God. I said, God, I can't do this anymore. I need you, please, please help me. My life is yours, I'll do whatever you want. I give it all to you. My life is yours, I am yours. Do with me what you will. I will follow wherever you lead. I'm tired of living my life this way. Show me what I'm supposed to do and how I'm supposed to live. Lord God, I give it all to you. Save me from myself. Please help me. God, I can't do it without you. And he came into my life and everything started changing. Since God has been in my life, he has shown me that there's way more to life than the ways I knew. There's still so much beauty and love and good in life that I couldn't see before because I was so used to seeing the bad and the negative. He worked through my girlfriend Jessica to lead me to this church. From the first time I came in, I walked through the doors, the Holy Spirit touched me. And I cried, but I knew in that moment it's where I belong. I met some really amazing people here that's now my family. Since God has came into my life, it feels as if everything is falling into place. I still have my days, but that's when I really hit my knees and pray more, read more of his word. God never lets me down.
Amen. I want to say this. Yes, thank you, Dalton. Thank you. So when I asked him if he would be willing to share his story, Dalton had a serious addiction to a major drug that we're known for here on this mountain in a bad way. And God delivered him from that months ago. But then he came to know the Lord in January. And I told him in preparing even to do this, to know that the enemy would do all he could to mess up his testimony, would do all he could to cause trouble and strife. And so even last night, you yes. ran into an old friend came to him and was asking if he was still using. And you told him you had not for how long?
11 months now.
And he said to you, amen, amen. We celebrate that. But he said to you jokingly that he hadn't used in how long?
He said he was clean for 2 hours.
Meaning that he was hoping that Dalton would partake with him. And of course, he stood strong. And so I say that to you to say this. God's mercy has been at work in your life. We've talked about this yes, since before sir. You knew the Lord. God's mercy definitely brought you to salvation. But God's mercy doesn't stop the day you're saved, friends. God's mercy continues to walk with you every step of the way. God's mercy was at work last night. God's mercy will be at work today. So friends, maybe your story is similar to Dalton's and you say you didn't think there would be hope for you because it was too big of a problem. Here's the reality. God's mercy, God's grace is sufficient for you. And so we invite you to give your life to him. Dalton would encourage you to give your life to him. And the song we're going to sing now is really Dalton's story. But it's not just Dalton's story. It's my story. It's the choir's story. It's your story. We're going to sing about God's mercy. Thank you, brother.
I'm living proof you'd believe me now. He turned my whole world upside down. Took the old and he made it new. That's just what the mercy of God can do.
Now I'm alive to tell the story, how I'm overcome. It's His goodness and mercy and the power.
seated, if you will. In Psalm 77, verse 11, David says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. That's what we've done this morning. Susie and Kevin and Dalton have remembered the deeds of old, what the Lord did in their life. Some was years ago, some was 5 years ago. Dalton was literally 2 months ago. And so each of us, hopefully, by now have taken time to stop and reflect this morning on when we came to Christ, our grace story, your story of trusting in him, and we remember the deeds of old. There's another place in the scripture it tells us to remember. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, for I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So 2,000 years ago, Jesus took the bread and broke it to tell them what would happen with his body. He took the cup and they passed it to remind them from that point forward to remember that his blood was shed for them, the precious blood of Jesus. And so now 2,000 years later, we take elements just the same, if you'll grab yours. And the time will come, we'll tell you when to take first the bread on the one side and then the juice on the other. But my prayer is that all the testimonies, the scripture, and the songs have brought you to an incredible place of worship, a humble place of worship before the Creator God who brought you new life. On this Palm Sunday, what God has done for you and for me. So we remember the deeds of old. We celebrate what he has done for us. I'll tell you when.
Let's have a meal. Let me reveal who I am. Your Savior, I will kneel down and wash all the sin from your soul. I'm your servant, I am all you need. I'm the lamb that was slain, and my blood washes you clean. I'm the pure sacrifice. Let my life give you life. I'm the Lamb.
So they took the bread and they broke it. This is the body of Christ broken for us. We take and we eat together. Praise be to God for Jesus. Of his precious gift of new life for us. Praise be to God. He is worthy of our praise today. He's worthy of our praise.
We cry worthy. We cry worthy. We cry worthy is the Lamb of God. We cry worthy. We cry worthy. We cry worthy is the Lamb of God. We cry.
Judah, you are worthy. We cry worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that was shed for us. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that brings mercy. Not only mercy at the cross, mercy the day we were saved, mercy today, mercy tomorrow. You continue to bring it in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. The blood that is at work is still at work in us. That blood does not lose its power. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Let's sing together. The blood will never lose its power. Just keep standing. Let's lift it to the Lord together.
Let's sing this out, church. The blood that Jesus.
The blood that Jesus shed. It's fine.
sort of want to sing that. I won't sing it again. Okay, y'all be seated. I won't do it. Do you have time? Well, you know what? We're going to do it. We have one more scripture and one more song, okay? One more scripture. I'm sorry, Minister of Announcements, you have to wait one more moment there. So we do have one more scripture, one more song, and I realize it's been an hour and 1 minute. Give us 9 more minutes, all right, of your time. This is what a joy it's been to celebrate together. And I don't think we should close with just this reminder, but we need to close with anticipation. Anticipation of what's to come. And so let me read this scripture to you in Matthew 26. It says, "Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it and broke it, he gave it to the disciples, and he said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks," and now we've got a lot to be thankful for today, "he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you, for this is the blood of my covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins.'" Now listen to this. This is the anticipation. Jesus said, "I will tell you this, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Now, last week we talked about heaven. And we didn't have time to talk about this, but here's what we know. There is coming a day when all of the saints of God, that's you and me, if you know Jesus, you're a saint of God. There's coming a day when all of God's adopted sons and daughters, his saints, will gather around the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we will celebrate with him, and he will drink again of the cup. Now, that day's not here yet, but it's coming. And so as we look to Easter and the resurrection, I want you to be reminded that what took place 2,000 years ago shouts forward to the day when Jesus will return. And Jesus will return. If you have a problem today, Jesus is coming back. If things are going great for you today, Jesus is coming back. If you've got fears and anxieties, Jesus is coming back. If you're struggling in some way, he's coming back. Everything is made new in the backdrop of the return of Christ. Everything. And so know that as we look to that day with joyful anticipation, we can praise the name of the Lord our God, because he will come and he will return. So let's sing this one more song together to close things out for us. Join us when you know it. Sing with us.
His name forever. Been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.